And the most important thing that's happening today, if you did not notice, underneath your own bottom, our brand new chairs have arrived. Finally, it's been a build-up. It's a Christmas miracle, really, when you think about it. We're so happy to have those. Some of you are going, these are the chairs, huh? Why don't you just go ahead and keep that opinion to yourself? No, these are great chairs. They're nice and cushioned, and we're really excited to finally have them here after such a long, long, long build-up. Well, yeah, I'm excited to be talking to you today. Like Dustin said, my name is Guy. Guy Johnson, which is a name that sounds like I made it up on the spot. People like to joke. My wife's name is Hosanna, which is a very beautiful and thought-through name. Her parents probably spent a lot of attention and detail thinking about giving her the name Hosanna. And then my dad was like, he's a guy. Let's call him Guy. That'll work. That's fine. So anyway, my name is Guy. Happy to be here with you guys today. Love being part of Venice Church. Love being all the things that just are happening here. We live in a day today where we are the most distracted we have ever been. Done today, December 16th, 2018. It's the most distracted we've ever been. In our pockets, we walk. This would blow my like 10-year-old mind. I walk around, and I have this little screen, right? And I can listen to any song I've ever wanted to listen to. I could watch anything, any TV show. I could play any game. I could. You remember, like, you used to. When you didn't know the answer to something, you just have to kind of move on with your life. Like if somebody was like, hey, what was the name of that movie that Tom Cruise was in? And we're like, I don't know, I can't remember. All right, well, whatever, let's go get some pizza. That's not a thing anymore. Now we have instant access to everything, and we're constantly distracted. I found this quote from an anonymous philosopher. I wanted to share this photo with you today. It says, I saw this guy today at Starbucks, no iPhone, no tablet, and no laptop. He was sat there drinking his coffee like a psychopath. This is the perspective and the mentality we have today. We are constantly distracted. I was in line at a Starbucks the other day, and my phone died. And it was like, well, what do I do now? Do I just stand here? Do I just stand here and wait? And then I start to talk to the people around me, like, hey, how's your day going? They're on their phone going, why are you talking to me? I'm on my phone. Very important stuff happening here. Kanye and Drake are having a beef. Very locked in on this. But we're the most distracted we've ever been, and this is also the most distracting time of the year that happens all year round. There's just a lot of stuff happening. There's a long list of things to do, and it's easy to kind of lose perspective or meaning. We're easy to get distracted from what all God has for us this Christmas. And I do believe that God does have something for each and every one of us this Christmas. Now, 4 in every 10 of us in this room, we're going to miss this Christmas because we are past Christmasers. We're just like a little over a week away from Christmas, and we spend our time and our focus kind of dwelling in either a Christmas of the past or a Christmas that maybe doesn't exist, where we're not happy with our situation. And so we just kind of go along with things, and we kind of just go through the motions because we wish that our situation was different. So we miss what God has for us because we're basically just kind of getting by as we go through the season. Now, 5 out of 10 of us, we're going to miss what God has for us this Christmas because we're just knocking out our list, right? You're not coming into Christmas going, okay, what is the true meaning of this? How can I grow closer to my family and to God? We're just going, okay, we got to do this. We got to go buy gifts, and then we have to travel, and then we have to get the house ready, and we have to do all of these things, and that's how we miss out on Christmas. Only 1 out of 10 of us currently in this room are actually going to get all that God has to offer to us this Christmas. We're actually going to slow down and enjoy what he's created for us. And so today we have a goal, and our goal is we want to change that trend a bit. We want more than just 1 out of 10 of us to not miss the moment that God has for us this Christmas. Because what happens when we miss moments is we get negative feelings about it, where we have regret. we look back on things. And I'm using Christmas as kind of like a package to talk about this, but this could be applied to a lot of things in our lives. So we miss moments. We miss out on all that God has for us because we're distracted by so many other things. So I want to take a look at the story in the Bible, and it's the story of Mary and Martha. And what you'll see as we dive into this is one of these ladies is going to, they're both visited by Jesus. And one of these ladies is going to miss out on what God has for them. And the other one actually is there. She doesn't miss the moment. She's actually locked in and ready for it. And it doesn't matter that it was women. It could have been men also. My guess is if it was two men, they both would have missed out on it. And neither one of them would have actually been locked in. We are the inferior race, but, you know, because this is just the story, we're going to take a look at what Mary and Martha, what their exact situation was. So let's jump into here to Luke chapter 10. I'm just going to read the whole thing, and then we're going to kind of go at it verse by verse. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all her preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord replied, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." So here's your first fill-in. Replace the urgent with the significant. Now, as Christ followers, we talk about following Jesus as not as a religion, but as a relationship, right? We talk about it as we're wanting to get to know him more. He wants to get to know us more. And as you look at that story, you see there's two ladies, and Mary really seems to understand this. She really, Jesus shows up, and because she has a relationship with him, she's able to stop what she's doing and be able to focus her attention on him. Now, I got to imagine that it's not hard to put myself in Martha's shoes, because if I were told that Jesus is coming and he's going to come visit my home, I would be terrified. I would be like, okay, well, we got to do a lot of stuff to get ready for Jesus to come over. Okay, hold on. We have to mop every floor. There's some stuff we probably don't want Jesus to see. We should put that in the garage. I'm assuming we have to provide food for him. Does he have any dietary restrictions? I don't know. Is he gluten-free or vegan or something like that? We need to have all these options available to him, and I'd be worried. I'd be all self-conscious about my appearance. I'd be like, is Jesus going to think my beard is stupid? I don't know. I would be really caught up in the details of it, because this would be such an intimidating thing to be a part of. And there's a verse that talks about, you know, not getting too caught up in the moment and being engaged with what Jesus is doing. In Matthew, it says, "Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now, and don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes." I think what Jesus and I think what God's calling us to do from time to time when we get caught up in just handling the details and shuffling through our to-do list is he's asking us to change our pace. He's asking us to slow down and to not miss out on what is significant, because what we can do then, there's always urgent, right? There's always going to be things that we have to do and things that we have to take care of. But every once in a while, it's good to just pause, slow down, and say, okay, I'm knocking down my list. I'm doing the whole Christmas thing. But what is significant? And there's an additional scripture that says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." And this verse applies wonderfully this time of year, because it's not about knocking down a list. It's about taking stock in what God has given you. What has he blessed you with in your life? What can you look at and change your pace and look around and see and go, wow, God is really doing a lot of cool things during this season for me, for my family, whether it's your parents or your kids or whatever. God is doing a lot of great things in my life, and that's what's significant. So taking a moment to pause, I think, is important in this season. Your next fill in there is we need to replace physical preparation with spiritual preparation. So in that last point, I was talking about changing our pace And this point is about changing our perspective, right? Because we can change our perspective and look up and see what is important to God, what's important to Jesus. Because if I keep my eyes focused on the ground, I'm going to be distracted like Martha, and I'm going to miss out on Jesus coming to visit me during this time. So how do I define a moment? A moment is something that happens when you are with a friend or a family member or a significant person in your life or your relationship with God, and you it's a small period of time that's going to help you grow in your relationship with God or with people. And God's giving you moments during this season. And when I think about not missing the moment and acknowledging what's significant and slowing down, I think of a wedding. See, I used to be a wedding DJ, so I've heard the cha-cha slide song quite a few times in my life. I did that as a way to make money through college, and I also would just do it for friends for free, for fun, if they asked for it, and then I didn't have to get them a wedding gift because I DJed their wedding. And so you learn a lot about, you know, there's just so many details and decisions that go into a wedding, right? It's a $50 billion a year industry, and that's $50 billion worth of decisions, worth of details, worth of stuff that you have to figure out. And I would meet with couples usually about a month before the wedding and kind of go over what's going to happen for the reception, you know, because that's a big part of what the wedding DJ does. They kind of help orchestrate all that's going to happen. What's the song you guys want to walk out to? What do you want your first dance to be? Do you want us to play Single Ladies by Beyonce? Do you not want us to play Single Ladies by Beyonce? People seem to have like very specific preference about that. And so you ask them that, and then they, you know, and you get kind of a couple different types of couples. Some couples are very like, whatever, we don't care, it's just like our wedding, whatever, you can play whatever songs you want. And I'm like, okay, whatever, I'll play with this, I'll just kind of pick it, and that's fine. And then there's some, you know, couples where you meet the bride, and the bride's got like the binder, you know, full of stuff she's been planning since she learned what a wedding was when she was a child. She goes, I know exactly what song I want you to play, when I want you to play it, and what songs I don't want you to play. There's just, she's got the details figured out. And I had a friend who got married, and him and his bride-to-be, they were like that. They had all the details figured out for their wedding. And they spent all this time going over it. We had all these meetings talking about what that service was going to look like, what the reception was going to look like. And, you know, it was kind of intense. It was a very intense amount of meetings talking about this. And so eventually the day comes, right? All the preparations happened. All the thoughts been put into it. And you know, it's just a great day. It's just a great moment. You know, you see, and you know, the stress level was high, but then eventually you could kind of just feel the temperature in the room change. You could tell that they were slowing down, like we talked about, and then you could tell that they had changed their perspective to what was God's perspective, and they acknowledged, wow, all of our favorite people in the world are here. You know, that's probably never going to happen again. It's a beautiful day outside, and you know, we're all gathering here. She had family who flew in from Mexico, who they were there. The wedding was in Las Vegas. And as we're doing the ceremony, you know, the bride starts to walk down. She looks beautiful. And she comes to the front. And again, you could just tell that all that had worn off. They changed, they'd slowed down, and they had changed their perspective. Ceremony starts. It's a beautiful day. And we're looking around, and I'm just looking at my friend. I'm just so happy for him, so happy for her. And her grandma, who had flown in from Mexico, was to read a scripture. So she comes up, and they say, okay, grandma's going to come up now, and she is going to read. I forget what scripture it was, but she was supposed to come up and read. So the pastor hands her the Bible. She looks down at the Bible, looks up at her granddaughter, has this look on her face, and she says, no habla inglés. Because she doesn't speak any English, and it was an English Bible that she was speaking from. And so then we're all just kind of like awkwardly pulling our phones out going, can somebody Google this verse in Spanish? I don't even know how to find, I think this is it. Oh, here you go. But they slowed down and they changed their perspective. And, you know, like we talked about regret, you could in that moment, if you were caught up in the details of that, if you were focused on the details, you'd miss out on a moment and what's significant and what's important. And what's important isn't that we missed a detail. They're not sitting around today going, if only we had brought a Spanish Bible, right? They kept their perspective on what was important and what was significant. And we can do that this time of year. We can keep our eyes down, focused on the tasks at hand. We can be like the trash manager on Christmas morning, the person who they're not going to let a single piece of wrapping paper that's been ripped off a present touch the ground. Pick it up, put it in the hefty bag. Hovering over the sink, making sure everyone's got food ready to go, and maybe missing out on an expression on a kid's face when they open up a present, see how happy they are. Maybe miss out on some of those moments. Don't get me wrong, I'm thankful for the trash managers. I know that's not me. Colossians says, don't shuffle along, eyes on the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert as what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from his perspective. And what I love about that verse is it gives us two choices. Either look down, focus on your work, and just kind of shuffle away, or look up. Take a moment, pause, look up, and see what is Christ's perspective during this time. Because that's where the action is. And Christmas is a time for that, where we get locked in. We get caught up in other things that just aren't important. An additional scripture says, there is far more here than meets the eye. The things we see now are here today and gone tomorrow. But the things we can't see now will last forever. Christmas is a very shiny holiday, so we see a lot of things that ultimately don't matter. Nothing wrong with the Christmas tree. Christmas tree is beautiful, it's great, it's fun, it's festive. But when it's all said and done, we're going to put it in a box and we're going to put it away. We're going to take down the decorations, we're going to put them away. We're going to crinkle up all the wrapping paper and throw it away. That really cool new phone that's going to change your life because it has the best camera ever is going to be a paperweight in 2 years, right? Some things are fleeting, but what's important, what's significant is your relationships. You know, this moment, the people that God's put in your life, your relationship with God is far more important than any possession during this time. And again, do not get me wrong. I think that these things are good things. But just make sure that you take a moment to look at what is significant, what is important in this time, so that you don't get that messed up for you. That's what we're battling for next week. All right, so those are the first two keys, right? Then those kind of go hand in hand together. Like I said, we're going to change our pace, and we're going to change our perspective. Now we're going to replace self-absorption with personal reflection. We see in the Mary and Martha story that Martha is mad. She is not happy with what Mary has been doing, right? So she turns to Jesus and she looks at him and is kind of like, hey, Jesus, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work myself? Tell her to help me. She tattles on Mary. She's like, she's not helping. She's supposed to be helping me. And Jesus looks at her and says, Martha, Martha, snitches get stitches. No, he says... He says, Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset by so many things, but only one thing is needed. Martha's focused on the external things, and Jesus is asking her, look inward, only one thing matters. Don't be focused on what your sister's doing. You can't change who she is. You can only change who you are. Jesus kind of takes a moment and says, hey, Martha, instead of maybe looking at what she's doing, let me introduce you to the mirror. Take a look at yourself and see why is your perspective wrong? What's going on there? Martha, you don't need a new sister, right? Us today, this Christmas, we don't need a new spouse. We don't need a new car. We don't need a new phone. We don't need a new kid. Well, most of us, I don't know, some of you might need a new kid. But we don't need any new of those things. What God is asking for us and what he's calling us to do is to have a new heart during this season. And to look at that and say, I want there to be a new you. I want you your heart to beat for me and to love me and to want to know me. That's what he's calling us to do during this time, is to change our heart for him. So what does that involve? Let's look at Lamentations. Let's take a good look at the way we're living and reorder our lives under God. So step one to getting a new heart is personal reflection, right? We take a look at ourselves in the mirror and see, where am I at? How am I doing? And am I aligned with what God has for me in my life? Am I under God's order? And you're like, why does that matter if I'm under God's order or not? Well, it's simple. God created you, and God has a plan for you. And so if we're not ordered and aligned under what God has for us, then we will miss out, and we will abuse the time that he's given us here on this earth. We're going to miss out on what he has for us because we are not looking internally. We need to reorder our lives, or we'll end up losing it. Now, David, who wrote Psalms, he has this great scripture, this great prayer, and it's a tool that we can use. And now I'm going to tell you right now, this is not a light tool. This is a heavy tool, but I think God is calling some of us to pray this prayer today. So let's read this together. Investigate my life, O God. Find out everything about me. Cross-examine and test me. Get a clear picture of what I am about. See for yourself whether I have done anything wrong, then guide me on the road to eternal life. David's asking for like an MRI or a CAT scan, like a full examination of his life and his heart. He's asking for God to investigate and search through him. And some of you are like, I don't want that. But, you know, if we want to do that, if we want to live with that perspective under what God has for us, that's what we need to do. We need to pray that God would search our hearts, make sure that we are aligned with him. And then what's going to happen is you're going to get the results. Now, it's not as simple as, you know, if you get an MRI scan, obviously there's like a document that you'll get. But this was, God will reveal things to you. He will let you know, here are the ways that you could be reprioritizing your life to make sure that you're within my priority. So again, I think some of us are being called to pray that prayer today. So that's the third key, is we're going to reflect personally. And now, this one is our last one, our last fill in the blank right there. Replace the superficial with the supernatural. Replace the superficial with the supernatural. It's really easy to be superficial for Christmas. I'm a fan of social media. I like social media. It's fun. But one negative thing of social media is now there's this whole comparing game that's happening where you see other people on Christmas Day, right? And they're posting these photos of whatever they're doing, and it's easy to look at someone else's life and look at their photos and think, well, I don't have that. Why don't I have that? Why do they got it so much better than me? And what you would learn probably if you actually talked to some of the people that you were maybe comparing yourself to and feel like you're missing out on, is that you're not missing out on anything. You know, you actually wouldn't understand, you wouldn't feel that way at all because your perspective is wrong. What God wants us to do in this time is not focus on what's superficial. It's not the presence. It's not the immediate. It's not just the act of knocking down a list and going through Christmas. It's God has something for you during this time. He has something supernatural he wants to do. And in the Mary Martha story, the Lord says, describing Mary to Martha, he says, Mary has chosen what is better. And it will not be taken away from her. She's got the right perspective. She's focused on me. She came here and sat at my feet, and I'm not going to take that away from her because she's making the right decision. I want to give that to her. And I don't want you to leave this Christmas with regret, feeling like you missed out on an opportunity to sit and hear what God has for you. So let's take a look at this verse in Jeremiah. It talks about this. Listen intently to God speaking. Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boasts boast about this, that he understands and knows me, and that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight. He's saying to us, I want you to love what I love. I want you to care about what I care about. And that's righteousness, that's love, that's kindness. These are the things that I value. And he's also saying to us, I want to know you. I don't want want you to just be on this earth existing. I want to know you, and I want you to know me. God sent his son down to this earth, which is what we're celebrating when we celebrate Christmas, because he wanted to make a gesture to us to say, I want to know you more, and I want you to know me more. And as we do that, he delights in that. He delights in us knowing him more and knowing what he loves more. That's what's supernatural about this time of year, is being able to have that experience and that expression with them. So we have our charge now, right? We don't want to miss the moment this Christmas. We don't want to just shuffle through, knock down a list, and miss out on all the things that God has for us. We want to have the right pace, the right perspective. We want to keep our eyes focused upward. And we want to have significant spiritual moments and not get lost in what's superficial. But how do we do that, right? Well, let's take a look at what Mary does. She does a couple things that I think we can look at and go and understand and figure out what she did that we can learn from. First thing she did is she sat. She sat at the Lord's feet. And again, that's what we talked about earlier. She just slowed down. She was worrying about the details with Martha, but then as soon as Jesus showed up, she stopped and she sat and she slowed down. And I think some of us, that's what we're being asked to do right now, is just to slow down, take a moment, breathe in deep, and listen to God. Second, the Bible says that Mary listened to Jesus. She listened. There's a difference between listening and hearing, right? She listened to Jesus. And all that means is just to be open to him, to be open to him during this time. Maybe God's calling you to do something that you've never done before. That's what being open could be. Maybe when you slow down and you hear what God has for you, maybe he wants you to open up your home to someone you've never opened up to before. Maybe he wants you to go to the senior living home and bring Christmas joy to other people. Be open to what God may have for you during this time. And then third, we see that Mary, she chose what was better, right? She didn't lose her sight on what was important, which was Jesus came to visit. Jesus is here. I don't know if this will ever happen again, so I'm going to stop and I'm going to choose what is better. And all that means is don't miss the moment. I don't know how many times you've heard me say that, but I think that it's so important as we head into this next week, is don't miss this moment. Don't wake up on New Year's Day going, I guess the holidays happen. I don't even know if I had a chance to stop and have a moment with my kids or with my family, or I didn't get to have that important conversation with someone that I wanted to have. And maybe that's something that needs to happen this time of year. Maybe you need to pray that prayer that David prayed. God, search my heart. Search all throughout me so I can get a new perspective. I can get your perspective during this time. And I'm gonna have the band come up right now. And I just want to give us that moment. Give us an opportunity just as we are slowing down and as we are doing that. Maybe you won't get another moment outside of today. Maybe you won't get another chance to slow down. So that'd be my prayer for us today, would just be, as this song is being played, let's change our perspective. Let's look upward. Let's not get lost on what's superficial around us, but let's change our pace and our perspective and focus on God as we enter into this next week together. Would you stand with me? Let's pray together. God, we just ask you for that today. We ask you that during this time of worship, in this time of singing, that we would be focused on you and that we wouldn't miss out on all the amazing and wonderful things you have for us this Christmas. And we thank you for this day and we thank you for this time. Amen.